VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, President Biden returned this past weekend from his Middle East trip, visiting Israel, visiting Saudi Arabia. The president was criticized for the fist bumps rather than shaking hands or giving out hugs as he did during his recent trip to Europe for the NATO summit. His trip began with a gaffe, and one writer indicated he left the area, Saudi Arabia, humiliated for not getting cooperation on energy issues. And yes, there's the whole matter of a nuclear Iran matter as well, so we're going to unfold a number of issues here today. With analysis on this trip, we do welcome back David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's the author of 7 books, including Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. He is the founder and president of Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that was established after he and his 3-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. His websites are davidrubinisrael.com and shilohisraelchildren.org. David, thank you for joining us here today.
Well, it's good to be with you, Jim, as always.
Well, David, I'd like to begin with an audio clip in which President Biden was being interviewed on, I believe it's Keshet, Channel 12 in Israel. I'd like to hear this, have you hear this clip, and then we'll have you respond to it. President Biden.
And there are those who thought with the last administration we sort of walked away from the Middle East, that we were going to create a vacuum that China and or Russia would fill. Mm-hmm. And we can't let that happen.
He talked about the last administration just, thought we'd walk away from the Middle East, create a vacuum that we would be filled by some other country. Your response to that?
Well, in many ways, the gap has been filled by Russia and by Iran, in Syria at least. And as far as Israel is concerned, well, you know, it's probably good that there's nothing going on right now in terms of pressure on Israel. But we have this problem in Iran, and it needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether Biden is the man to do it, you know, that's another story. But, you know, as I've always said, and I've said it many times on your show over recent years, that Israel is prepared to do whatever needs to be done to stop the Iranians from having a nuclear bomb and having nuclear weapons. But there is some behind-the-scenes passive military support that would be needed by the United States.
Yeah. Well, shortly after getting off the plane, the president seemed kind of bewildered as to where he was to walk next or go next. But then as he approached the microphone, he spoke and he said, "We must do every day, continue to bear witness to keep alive the truth and honor of the Holocaust." And then he self-corrected, saying, "Horror of the Holocaust. I honor those that we lost so that we never forget our lesson." How was that received in Israel when he misspoke? Was it just viewed as being a gaffe when he said the honor of the Holocaust?
Yeah. I don't think he intended anything that really should be criticized. Look, I think in general it's a problem having a president that suffers from dementia and has all kinds of cognitive issues. But at the same time, I'm not going to criticize him for every single gaffe that he makes.
President Isaac Herzog had presented him with a Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is Israel's highest civilian award. Do you believe President Biden has proven himself to be a true friend of Israel that would merit such an award?
Of course not. I think any president who would come to Israel, except for perhaps Obama, who really proved himself to be hostile all the time, any president is going to receive awards like, you know, these honors, these awards, these, you know, talk, and they're going to talk about what a great friend of Israel is. in the hope that he will become a great friend of Israel. But a lot of it is wishful thinking. I don't think Biden's a great friend of Israel. The problem with Biden goes back a lot of years. When he was a congressman or a senator, and Prime Minister Menachem Begin, okay, and I'm dating this now. You know, it goes back about 35, 40 years, and Biden was
senator
of cross-examining Begin, who was speaking to the Senate, and he said, it was pretty firm. I mean, it was a lecture, basically. He lectured the prime minister, saying, criticizing Israeli settlement and saying that, you know, this is unacceptable and we may have to cut off your financial aid if you can continue building settlements. Now, we know what settlements are. We know that what he refers to as settlements is just building up the land of Israel and, rebuilding the biblical heartland of Israel that we were driven out of 2,000 years ago and that we have been rebuilding in our times. So to Biden's threatening to cut off financial aid because of the building of Israeli homes in Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, was really unacceptable and something that hasn't been forgotten by most people in Israel.
To your knowledge, did this topic of settlement building ever come up during the meetings in Jerusalem at all, behind closed doors or anything?
Yeah, behind closed doors for sure. The difference between Biden and Obama is that Biden did not make a public issue of it, and Obama did. Obama made it central to his trip to Israel. So that's the key difference.
We're talking with David Rubin here today, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He's in Israel as we speak. President Biden and the interim prime minister for Israel signed this Jerusalem Declaration that we understand is to be a framework of sorts for relations that includes a statement that neither Israel or the U.S. are going to allow Iran to acquire nuclear weapons. I'd like your comment on this and whether you believe that the Biden administration is sincere in such a pledge as they seem to have reignited the so-called Iran deal.
Well, first of all, a declaration of principles means nothing. Let's be very clear about that. It's nice. People like the smiles. People like the declarations of friendship. It's all nice. It's all good. Nobody's going to complain about it. But in practice, it means nothing. The United States is still negotiating with Iran, and Iran is right on the threshold of having a nuclear bomb, and they have been working very hard on the getting the ability to use it against Israel. So we have no illusions here. Everyone, all across the political spectrum is very concerned. The Saudi Arabians are very concerned. And all of that came up in the meetings. Not just the Saudi Arabians, by the way, all of the other countries in the Persian Gulf as well are very concerned about Iran's nuclear program.
David, the Biden administration has been described by a writer to the Gatestone Institute as being the friendliest to Iran's mullahs. I mean, they point out that the Iranian leaders keep testing him on so many different things, like violations to this increased uranium enrichment to near weapon-grade levels. They test him on transferring of weapons and oil to Venezuela, testing him on attempting to kill former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, targeting U.S. bases in Iraq, even harassing U.S. Navy ships, and they're not receiving any repercussions at all.
That's right. And they pay very close attention. They know that the United States is not going to be the country that's going to stop them. Certainly not with Biden as president. They are still concerned about Israel. But they, you know, there are differences of opinion in the regime in Iran, and there are those who think that Israel will not attack if the United States is not behind Israel, if the United States is not giving at least passive support. And they have no sign that the United States is going to give Israel that passive support.
Will any kind of words or threats stop Iran from the course that they're on?
No, words never stop anything, and certainly not in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Diplomacy stopped working years ago, and certainly threats, you know, they don't pay attention to threats. They're not concerned about threats. The only thing that's going to stop them is a strong military response.
And so do you notice a very strong variance in reaction from a Trump administration to a Biden administration as it pertains to Iran?
Well, there's a huge difference between the two. I am absolutely certain that a Trump administration would have stood behind Israel if Israel went ahead and launched that strike. There were a variety of international circumstances that prevented that from happening during the Trump administration. But right now, I have my doubts. I really don't know if Biden will stand behind Israel if Israel needs to strike. And I'm telling you that Israel needs to strike.
Sooner than later?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We are. I didn't say that they are on the threshold of having a nuclear bomb for no reason. They have reached that point, and we are really on the precipice of a major confrontation.
Are you speaking, David, of days? Are you speaking of weeks? Or speaking of months?
We'll see.
David Rubin, our guest here today on Crosstalk. David, Jihad Watch also reported that the presidential limo had the U.S. and Israeli flags while it traveled in West Jerusalem, but removed the Israeli flag when this limo visited East Jerusalem. And many said this is really making a statement. I mean, some have indicated that he's not recognizing Israeli sovereignty in that part of the city.
That's true. Biden did. Biden or his people did take down the Israeli flag from the vehicle that they were being escorted on, and he went and he made his speech in Eastern Jerusalem, which is part of Israel's United Capital.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a thumb in the nose of the Israelis and a sign of encouragement to the so-called Palestinians.
There's even been rumblings of setting up an embassy in Eastern Jerusalem for the PLO.
Oh, they've been talking about it for a long time. Since Biden came into office, he's been talking about it. The problem for him is that, according to American law, and in fact international law, you have to have the approval of the host country if you want to set up a different consulate, a separate consulate in their capital city. Israel has not given that approval.
We'll be back in 1 minute. David Rubin, our guest. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how long have spiders been around?
Chris, spiders have been around evidently since creation, and even now evolutionists are admitting they've been around for a long, long time. Recently, a very well-preserved fossil spider was found in rock, dated by evolutionists to be about 300 million years old. Yet it was identical to a modern-day spider, complete with 8 legs and even the intricate web-spinning features of modern spiders. The point is, Chris, there's no such thing as a simple organism. They're all complex, right from creation, with all of the abilities that we now attribute to them. Spiders may have had a different lifestyle back before the curse, but there is no such thing as simple to complex evolution, even among spiders. They were created, just like it says, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, we're talking to David Rubin. He is the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. He is in Israel as we speak today, and certainly observant of what's happening politically, not only in Israel, but here in the United States as well. He has authored 7 different books. You'll find him on his website, davidrubinisrael.com, the most recent being Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. You'll find it there. But also, as we mentioned at the outset of the program, does also serve as president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that he established after both he and his 3-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. And that website is shilohisraelchildren.org. As we're visiting the Biden Middle East trip here today on the program, I understand, David, that Mr. Biden also went to a hospital in East Jerusalem that he actually refused to allow, or his administration or decision makers refused to allow Israeli officials to accompany him on that visit.
Right. So you had the taking down of the Israeli flag from Biden's car, which we mentioned before the break, mm-hmm. and yes, no Israeli officials were allowed to accompany him.
Even though this is sovereign Israel territory.
It's sovereign Israeli territory, but Biden clearly wanted to make a point, or at least his advisors did. They wanted to make a point that he was going into sovereign so-called Palestinian territory, even though it was East Jerusalem. So there was a point being made there, and it totally was unacceptable. He did it on the last few hours of his trip, and, you know, sometimes those are the things that linger, the last thing that you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, he met with Mahmoud Abbas of the PLO. Give us your analysis of that visit.
Well, you know, he threw some bones. He threw some bones to Abbas. And, you know, being the evil terrorist dog that he is, you know, it's quite appropriate throwing him bones. But Abbas considered it to be significant because he got Biden to reiterate his support for the two-state solution, mm-hmm. meaning creating a Palestinian terrorist state alongside Israel.
And it's called a two-state solution, but, David, that's not really a solution, is it?
Oh, no, it's a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm. Any idea how long he was with Mahmoud Abbas in their meetings?
Oh, I don't recall the amount of time. It wasn't that long, but the point is that the meeting took place,
yep.
that he gave him the honor of being like a foreign leader and like a leader of an independent country, which never should have been done.
Yeah. Well, it was then off to Saudi Arabia, and we understand just prior to his visit that Saudi Arabia opened up its airspace to allow for Israeli airlines. President Biden said this is an important step toward building a more integrated and stable Middle East region. Do you agree?
I do agree. He had to show some accomplishments, and there were 2 accomplishments that Biden was trying to get done, and one of them was opening up the airspace to Israeli flights, and, you know, which is good for Israel. There's no question about that. It helps us to cuts down the travel time, the flight time. By about 3 hours to countries in the Far East from Israel. So it's a positive thing. And, of course, a lot of what was discussed behind the scenes was Iran and strengthening the alliance that we paradoxically have with a country that we don't even have diplomatic relations with. But we do have an alliance, a security alliance, that may need to be used against Iran. So at some point that will be actualized. The other thing, of course, that Biden wanted to accomplish was to get a lowering of gas prices by increasing the oil production in Saudi Arabia. Now, as we know, this is a problem that Biden created. Let's remember that when Biden was running for election, he blasted the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. And this is all proof that Biden doesn't understand the Arab world. In the Arab world, everything is based on the word honor, okay? You mentioned honor before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it has real meaning also, not just Biden gaffe meaning. So the word honor means a lot in the Arab world. So if you insult the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, by the whole Khashoggi affair, and, you know, it could be that the Crown Prince deserved that criticism, and he probably did, even though Khashoggi was an anti-Semite and a Jew hater and, you know, hated Israel. But nonetheless, you know, nobody deserves to be cut up into 20 pieces. So it was a big problem for Biden, because now, after he came into office and he cut off American domestic oil production, thereby encouraging the increase of gasoline prices, which skyrocketed before the Russia-Ukraine war. And, of course, that process has continued. So he was trying to cut down the gas prices in his meeting with the Saudis. So after insulting the Crown Prince, he went to Saudi Arabia with his tail between his legs, and he went to beg the Saudis to do something nice for him. And so they agreed to this, opening up their flights from Israel to their airspace. Mind you, that's probably a preparation for an attack on Iran, which will happen at some point. But it was just embarrassing for the American president to have to sort of go with this handout to Saudi Arabia when the United States was once energy independent, even just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was not that long ago. And I saw one writer said he was actually humiliated by Saudi Arabia.
Well, as I said, he went there with his tail between his legs.
Yeah.
And he was looking for some big announcement about the increase in oil production that was going to drastically bring down gasoline prices. That didn't happen, apparently.
Yeah. And what we understand is that the door is closed for that to take place. And that after insulting the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, David Rubin with us here today on Crosstalk with analysis. When all is said and done by this visit to the Middle East, what do you see as being the most significant outcome?
Probably, we'll know as time goes by, but probably strengthening the Israel-Saudi Arabia Security Alliance. Whether Biden was actually the one who did that, or whether he just sort of jumped on the horse as it was moving forward, we will see. We will see when the time comes.
Are there continued outcomes taking place from the Abraham Accords that came under President Trump?
Well, this is one of them, even though the Saudis aren't a part of the Abraham Accords. There haven't been any new countries added, but there has been progress in terms of diplomatic relations.
Speaking of Ukraine and Russia, you mentioned Russia before. I saw that Iran is all set to deliver armed drones to Russia to assist in fighting against Ukraine.
We shall see. Look, the whole war in the Ukraine, it's a terrible thing that wouldn't have happened under Trump's watch, but it certainly has happened under Biden's watch, because everyone knows that there's a weak president in Washington. And when there's a weak president in Washington, so there's going to be chaos below.
Well, again, there's a significant message that was being sent from President Biden to the world. And as far as, you know, the removal of the Israeli flag from the presidential limo as he went to the other side of Jerusalem is, again, part of Israel's sovereign territory. And also when he refused to allow Israeli officials in with him to the hospital in East Jerusalem. And then just today, David, I saw another article that came through the Gatestone Institute about the Biden administration deciding to resume financial aid to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine refugees, even though the agency's school books continue to incite violence and to erase Israel's existence from their map. So it's meaning that U.S. taxpayer money, thanks to the Biden administration, and now once again going directly to an international agency promoting messages of hate against Israel and even her right to exist.
Well, frankly, that's been going on for a lot of years. All assistance from the United States government to Israel has not been to Israel. It's been to the Palestinian terrorists, you know, through their social agencies, of course, and pretending that it's going for their social causes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to the Palestinian terrorist authority that pays every terrorist that kills or wounds a Jew is getting paid by the Palestinian Authority monthly salaries. And those who wounded me 20 years ago, along with my three-year-old son, they are also receiving salaries, or at least their families are receiving those salaries every single month, even though they are in jail.
Yeah, that's just absolutely horrendous. David Rubin is with us here today on Crosstalk. And, David, I'd like to just touch on what's happening politically in Israel right now as well. It just was shocking to many to all of a sudden see the resignation from the prime minister, and now Israel facing another set of elections. So give us a lowdown on what's happening.
Well, we're going to elections November 1st, and it seems like it's pretty clear we're gonna know soon what all the political parties running are. It's not like in America we have two political parties. Here in Israel, we have a lot of political parties, and in the next month and a half, it'll become clear what those parties are that are running, who are going to be in the main parties, and who are going to be the candidates for those main parties. And then we're going to have it all play out in a rumble-tumble election campaign. In the previous government, there was a strange sort of coalition government of the moderate right along with the moderate left and the extreme left and Islamic extremists. It's incredible that it lasted a full year. But I think that a large part of the public that may have voted for that coalition will not be voting for that coalition this time around.
Okay, we're going to have some more thoughts on that right after the break. David Rubin is with us here today. Again, his website's davidrubinisrael.com, shilohisraelchildren.org. And in a short time, folks, we'll be opening up phone lines as well to give you opportunity to ask questions of David Rubin. He is in Israel as we speak, and we'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Crosstalk as we know it began airing in 1987.
Good afternoon to you, Vic Eliason here. We are going to be talking today with...
It comes your way from the VCY America Network out of Milwaukee. Did you ever wonder what the letters VCY stand for? Ever pondered what's behind the ministry that presents Crosstalk every day? We're pleased to share with you a free copy of the magazine formatted book, God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story. This book of over 200 pages presents nearly 500 photographs, interviews, historic newspaper articles, and writings about the VCY America ministry, now over 60 years old. The magazine will also inform you about VCY rallies, the birthday club ministry, the VCY bookstore, and so much more. It is a testimony to God's faithfulness. To receive a free copy of God's Continuing Miracle, The VCY Story, call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today's program takes you to Israel, where David Rubin is speaking to us from. He's a former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, authored 7 books. The most recent, again, is Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. You'll find that at davidrubinisrael.com. Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N. davidrubinisrael.com. His other books are there as well. David, we were talking about the Biden visit to the Middle East, but then also in regard to the Israeli elections, November 1st. And just for my own clarification, is that a runoff date or is that the final election to take place on November 1?
No, that is the final election.
Final election, okay.
Yeah. We know who's going to be running for the two major parties, and some of the important minor parties will determine their candidates in the coming days.
Any return expected for the former prime minister?
I would certainly bet on it.
Okay. Very interesting. And he represented the Likud party?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's the largest party in Israel by far.
Okay. And I saw a recent poll that showed them having some 34 votes at this time in that. And what is necessary for a majority?
Well, you have to have 61 seats.
61.
So they're predicting between 30 and 36 seats for the Likud. That will be the largest party, almost definitely. And so Netanyahu, being the leader of Likud, would have to negotiate with some of the smaller parties to try to get his total up to 61.
Anything happening with Syria right now?
Just a continuation of what's been before.
Mm-hmm.
Israel launches almost weekly attacks on the Iranian bases that have been allowed to get set up in Syria. So we've been attacking those bases. We've been attacking sources of weaponry, shipments of weaponry to Syria, to the Iranian forces in Syria, or to the Hezbollah forces in Lebanon.
David, on yet another issue, saw a headline out of a UK newspaper, the Mirror News Service, in regard to a discussion on Iran plotting to kill Donald Trump in an assassination plot. There is certainly been no love for President Trump after the death of Soleimani, the major general. And are you hearing rumblings like that in the Middle East as well, or is that is there legitimacy to this report?
Of course, they're always going to try to. That's what they do. That's what terrorists do. They try to kill democratically elected leaders, because they don't even know what democratically elected leaders is all about.
Mm-hmm. Friends, our phone number to Crosstalk today is 1-800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Questions or comments pertaining to the Biden Middle East trip? Questions, comments as it relates to the so-called Iran deal and Iran's push for that enriched uranium, and matters pertaining to Israel right now in the Middle East. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. There have been various accounts given, David, as to how far Iran really is in their enrichment process. Matter of fact, their supreme leader, Khamenei, said this past Sunday, saying in a few days we're able to enrich uranium up to 60%, and we can easily produce 90% enriched uranium, and has technical means to produce a nuclear bomb, but there's been no decision by Iran to build one. That was a senior advisor, I should say, to Khamenei. Do you believe that there really is a decision to build that? That's just rhetoric at this point?
Oh, of course. That decision was made a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Their intention has always been to develop the nuclear bomb and to build them and to use them against Israel, to use them against the United States and any other countries in the free world that they so decide to.
Do you see Iran as being Israel's greatest threat?
Without question.
Mm-hmm. And while at the same time receiving threats from other aspects of her border as well.
Of course, of course. That's always been the case. But in terms of an existential threat to Israel, Iran is the only game in town.
David Rubin with us here today. We have some open phone lines for Crosstalk. Our number is 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. We're talking about the recent Biden Middle East trip that took place, as well as matters pertaining to Israel here at this time. Certainly we see the president go to, in essence, beg for more oil production when, in fact, here in the United States, he has done everything to stop that oil production from taking place, and surely to the detriment of so much of the nation, the higher gas prices and so forth, but fuel costs, the diesel fuel for transporting it across the country, and having a huge impact. But, David, there are those saying that this is very much deliberate and wonder how he could go ask for more oil coming from Saudi Arabia when he has done everything to block it here in the U.S.
Well, that's what I was saying. You know, he inherited a country that was energy independent, mm-hmm. and he undid that. He undid that intentionally and very publicly, and now he is paying the price for it politically, while everyone else in the United States is, and I might add, a lot of parts of the free world are paying the price economically.
We've got Phil calling in from Delavan, Wisconsin. Hi, Phil. You're on the air.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen, and great job as usual. Jim, Mr. Rubin, I'm very very interested in your comments about the potential move against Iran. I always think about the famous Operation Opera that took place during the Reagan administration, which might have been Israel's greatest military maneuver in their history. Any comment about that?
Well, if Israel launches a major strike against Iran, it will, and if it's successful, then it will take its place in history as number one, because the challenge of launching any sort of military strike against Iran is much greater than it was when we attacked Iraq, and much greater than it was when we attacked the reactor in Syria.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's fascinating from a military perspective about how well thought out and timing-wise these things take place. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Israel has always the ever-present right to defend themselves. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for the call here.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Let's go next to Jay. Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
Hi, this is J.R. Prancher. I had a question. I wanted to know what could Christian business owners do to potentially, you know, help. Like, I know that Biden is making these, like, deals with oil and stuff like that, but what could Christian business owners do to be a blessing to or to help? And I'll take my answer off here.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for the question. What could Christian business owners do to help? If he's referring to being a blessing for Israel, to help Israel and help to strengthen Israel in these challenging times, well, you know, the best thing that I could recommend is what you mentioned earlier, Jim, which is the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, which gives support to projects and programs for terror victim children in the heartland of Israel. And anyone wants to find out more about how they can give to Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, they can go to our website, which is Shiloh, S-H-I-L-O-H, Shiloh Israel Children.org. Again, that's ShilohIsraelChildren.org, and you could see a lot of neat videos and lots of information about what we do on behalf of the terror victim children in Israel.
Thank you for the call here today. Our line number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Rochester, Minnesota. Art, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was wondering whatever become of the peace treaty that Jimmy Carter settled between Israel and, I believe, Palestine?
Well, there is no country called Palestine, so it certainly wasn't that. It was a peace treaty between Israel and Egypt, and then there was a follow-up peace treaty between Israel and Jordan. Basically, they've remained a cold peace because of the choice of the Arabs. Egypt has a security relationship with Israel, standing up to Iran and other aggressive nations in the Middle East. But they certainly haven't opened up any real diplomatic friendship. And the same is true of Jordan. Not because Israel hasn't wanted it, but it's mainly from the Arab side. So it's kind of a cold peace. It's an absence of war. And here and there, there is security cooperation. So that's basically where that stands. As for the so-called Palestinians, well, you know, and when I say that, I'm saying it obviously, with the message, which is that, you're mainly talking about, the Arabs of the land of Israel, Israel's indigenous homeland, and there is the Palestinian Terrorist Authority that was given autonomy in certain parts of Israel in the misguided Camp David Accords that you were referring to. So you know, which was followed up by the Oslo Peace Accords, of course, which is when it was actualized. But they're still just autonomous. There is no country called Palestine. And frankly, I don't think they should even have autonomy in the land of Israel. Those Arabs who want to stay and live in peace under Israel's sovereignty are certainly welcome to do so. And those who aren't, well, they're also welcome to leave.
Hmm. Great.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Art, for the call here today. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. David Rubin is our guest today on Crosstalk. Our phone number is 800-733-9829. And dealing with many of the political aspects pertaining to Israel here today, the Biden Middle East trip being part of that, our telephone number 800-733-9829. We'll be back in just 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network and certainly discussing the Biden Middle East trip and also its ramifications upon Israel, upon the Middle East, upon the future relations there as well, and even upon Iran and its quest for the nuclear weapon as well, which it's on a fast track to receive. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There are three steps the communists are using to carry out their ongoing revolution in America. Now, let me make this very clear. There are many plans and many processes, but there are specifically three steps I want to concentrate on today that the communists are using to carry out their revolution in America. Number one, formal communist education. Most of our schools, elementary schools, as well as high schools and colleges, are giving young people, now for decades, a heavy dose of communism under such names as common good or social justice. Number one, formal communist education. Number two, self-criticism and criticism of America. America now has been declared a racist nation, an evil nation. We're called to criticize ourselves as Christians and conservatives. And then number three, the censorship of reality and truth. These are the steps for a communist revolution.
We've got some available phone lines here today on Crosstalk at 800-733-9829, talking about the politics here in the Middle East, the Biden Middle East trip as well, as well as the quest that Iran is on here as well, and certainly to do that without sanction by the United States. We have removed those sanctions. Our number is 800-733-9829, just really opening the door, laying out the welcome mat for Iran to go ahead with the nuclear proliferation. There is a concern to many. And when we talk about Iran with nuclear weapons, there's a number of nations, David, that are greatly concerned by this.
That's absolutely true. Saudi Arabia for one, United Arab Emirates for another, Egypt, Oman. There is a list there, as well as Jordan.
Are any of these willing to go as far as military action as Israel is?
Well, we may see some of that. We may see some of that. The only country really that is strong enough to really take part in any kind of joint strike would be Egypt. And the Saudis do have some ability. They have some pretty high-grade American weapons. The question is whether they're prepared to use them.
Mm-hmm. And is Saudi under threat from Iran as well?
Oh, without question, without question. They are, of all the countries that are concerned about the Iranian race for nuclear weaponry and aggressiveness, it's the Saudis.
Wow. So, yet they're rebuffing the Biden administration right now for more oil production. I guess that may come back to haunt them as well.
Well, probably not. Look, Israel is going to take action when it has to take action,
mm-hmm.
and whoever is on board, well, you know, that's going to happen. Our relationship, our secretive relationship, I should emphasize, with the Saudis, which is anything but official, it exists. There is security cooperation, and to some extent, it's independent of the United States, independent of Joe Biden, certainly. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Texas. We have Mingo calling in. Hi, Mingo. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jim. You're always doing a tremendous, tremendous work. And hello, David. I hope everything is good up in Jerusalem.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to hear from you.
We're always praying for you in Jerusalem. We went out there in the year 2000, and we really enjoyed being out there. But my comments was that the United States, we don't have to worry about Iran or any small nation there. The one that we're supposed to worry about, David, is the bear, Russia, because it's on Bible prophecy. As you well know, it's in the book of Daniel. Is that correct? Is that the one that we need to worry about, Russia?
Well, I think we certainly have to be aware of Russia, and we have to be concerned and wary. Frankly, I think that China is a much greater threat to all of us at this time. The communists of China, I think, are the greatest threat to the free world. But you should know that both China and Russia are working hand in hand with Iran and helping them to get their nuclear capability. So it's important to look at who the players are, mm-hmm. and who is cooperating with whom.
Correct. Thank you very, very much, David. Thank you, Brother James.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Mingo. Appreciate your call here today. And when we look at that alliance, David, of China and Iran and Russia, that's a pretty mighty alliance.
It is. It is. And I think we all need to be very concerned about it, and we need to wake up.
Yeah.
We need to wake up, and voters need to wake up. And voters in Israel, voters in the United States, we have important elections coming up in November. And so I think, you know, those who are conservative and those who are patriotic, need to stand up for our two countries and get out there and vote and bring a lot of people with you.
So what happens here in U.S. elections in November, that really does bear out significance to Israel?
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. But we need to be working together. Unfortunately, Biden is not going to be the one who's going to encourage that cooperation, despite all of his declarations of friendship.
Mm-hmm. One other final question here, Dave, and in regards to the BDS movement, the boycott and divest and sanctions movement. How is this impacting Israel at this time? Is it sinking its teeth in? We know that there have been those countries or entities or sometimes a college university jumping into things like this. How bad is that issue at this time?
Oh, there's colleges and universities in the United States have been taken over by the far left. And the far left is very anti-Israel. They've somehow adopted the Palestinian terrorist movement as their own, as somehow akin to communism, or shall we say socialism, that polite term that they like to use. And they're working hand in hand with the black racists and with Black Lives Matter and organizations like that. And they're working together with the Palestinians, and they're working together with the radical ninth month abortionists. So they're all working together with, you know, these radical movements in the United States are out of control.
Well, friends, again, just hearing the program today reminds us of the scriptural admonition to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And certainly the enemies of Israel are many, and they've been mounting, and the threats are significant. And let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And David, we appreciate you carving time out here on this late Israeli night to join us here on the program.
Well, thank you, Jim. It was good to be with you, and I want to encourage all of your listeners to pray for Israel, stand with Israel in concrete ways, and get out there and show your make your voices heard.
Great. Thank you, David. Again, the websites, folks, davidrubinisrael.com. Rubin is spelled R-U-B-I-N, and shilohisraelchildren.org. Thank you, folks, for listening today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.